I figured tonight would be a good opportunity while we get some things situated. And basically what I'm asking, it if somebody wants to just give a short testimony, whether that just be around a minute or two max, please. And if there be that, something on your heart that you would like to say, and it doesn't have to be during Thanksgiving revival. It could be something that happened just in the past week or just something the Lord's been teaching you. Is there anybody, teenagers, ladies, men, it's open, the floor is open. If God has put something on your heart, maybe you think would be an encouragement to some others and that would honor the Lord. Would anybody like to start us off? We have this, can I get an usher to get ready? One of you guys, Ben, just a second. Is anybody want to start us off with a testimony? We'll take a few minutes. Anybody want to be brave enough to give a testimony? Who we got? Anybody? Surely somebody's got something good to say about the Lord. Come on now. You got any? Yes, right. Praise the Lord, Miss Sherry. You go back. Remember, 1 to 2 minutes, Miss Sherry, but praise the Lord. Thank you for being willing to say something. Make sure it's on, Ben. He'll turn it on for you, Miss Sherry.
Yes, we have 3 families living on our well right now, and we finally got it fixed. So
amen.
That is a praise.
Amen.
And my aunt, she helped out with the Keene's Construction, also helped out, which is a good company that my uncle works for. And
amen.
They set us on a payment plan instead. So,
amen.
Which really helped us out a lot.
That's an answer to prayer. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Sherry. You can take
Thank
that
you.
Mic, Ben. That was a testimony that she gave, a need, real need for that family, needing the well to be repaired and the well pump, and God did that. Wonderful. Anybody else like to give a testimony tonight? With a few minutes we have, anybody else like to share something that's on your heart, something you're thankful for? Yes, Miss Kelly down here. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say, I grew up in church, and I have a home church, but my husband didn't really like it all that much. So the Lord laid on my heart that we needed to find a church that we could go to together, all of us as a family, because I was going to church with just me and the kids.
Yeah.
And so we started visiting, and we went to several of them, and we started coming here. And the Sunday we started coming here, they told us they thought they found the preacher that they wanted to come. And so I said, that is a sign. This is where we need to be. And ever since we've been here, it's just been a lot has lit up. And I just want to praise this church for opening up your hearts to our family and to my husband. And he couldn't be here tonight because he works overnight, and he worked last night, so
sure.
He couldn't stay up any longer. But
sure.
I just want to thank y'all and just continue to pray. He's got some changes going on in work and stuff, and it might make it a little bit more difficult for him to actually even come to church. So
sure.
I just want y'all to pray for that. He'll be able to actually be able to still come. So
amen.
Thank y'all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you will just try to take it upon your responsibility to pray more for Kelly and Tommy Lee? Amen. They have been a blessing to our church, and just it was a joy. You guys were already coming when I came and were visiting, and just been a joy to get to meet y'all and how God is working in this family. Abby was able to go to the wilds with us, and praise the Lord for that testimony. Thank you. That is an encouragement. Anybody else? Maybe we'll take one or two more. You think we're going to be ready to go here in a minute? No, not right now? Okay. All right. Would anybody else like to give a testimony in the few minutes that we have? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Will Miss Kathy give a testimony?
I praise the Lord for His patience to us, and it seems like when He's teaching us something, He repeats it 2 or 3 times for those of us that are slow. You know, and His lesson to me lately is, focus on me, not on circumstances.
Amen.
And He's the greatest focus there is.
Amen. Amen. Good testimony. Anybody else? Just something the Lord's put on your heart, just like, again, a word of testimony you may have.
I just want to give testimony. We have in our Spanish Bible, by the way, it's going so-so. It started really strong, but I guess maybe because of the Christmas holidays or whatever, it's been slowing down, and if you all just keep us in prayer about that. But we have a man, his name is Ruben, and he's had some surgery, and anyways, seems like things are not getting any better for him. And so, but we would like to ask you to pray with us about this ministry, if it's the Lord's will for it to grow, just to bring the people that need to come, and maybe we can open up our church for our Sunday school classroom to be able to teach them here. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I would love, absolutely love for our church to be able to start a ministry to our Spanish-speaking neighbors. I think it would be awesome. I think it would be pleasing to God. And by the way, that's a good enough reason to do anything. And so we are praying about that. Pray for Victor. Let me give a testimony. Victor's not here tonight, I don't think, but Victor came to Christ about 3 weeks ago, and he's been coming every Sunday morning. And Dan Bachman is discipling Victor during Sunday school, and he is growing. And he is. I just was with him this morning, and he's just talking about how God's changed his life since the day he came here and got saved, and the steps of growth that he's making personally. And just we are just praising the Lord for answered prayer in that regard. And he's a he's bilingual, and I would love to see us to be able to do that, Miss Becky. So we'll definitely be praying about that in church. Let's pray about it as see what God would have us do in opening up our church to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that would be pleasing to the Lord. Do we have another one? This is fine. Yes, Ms. Lorraine.
I just wanted to briefly mention the last message in particular, when he was speaking of the prison house experience.
Mm.
I had never read the portion where he was talking about Joseph and when he went to them and, "Why are you sad?"
Mm.
And I had never thought of it from that experience. And I just want to thank the Lord for the timing of that message, because we've had several instances in the past 2 weeks where we've been able to pass that lesson that we learned from,
yes,
on to some going through some really hard times. And it was a very thought-provoking message for
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Amen. The prison house experiences that Brother Dietrich preached. Again, maybe you didn't hear me mention this, but if you can get that on a CD or go online and listen to it, it will really help you, especially when you're going through a tough time and understanding the importance of the prison. But that's my study material right there. Bible Works. I highly recommend it. But anybody else like to give a testimony? It doesn't have to be a Thanksgiving Bible, but it can be just something God's been doing. Abby, sure. And by the way, folks, hey, listen, we're not all about, I believe in order, but I'm not all about being Mr. Formal all the time. You know, we need to be led by God's Spirit. And God had a reason for this not working right, and I believe it so we can give some testimonies. Amen? And so, Abby, you go ahead, sweetie.
The last week or two, I've been sharing, Jesus and how I know Him. And I realized that a lot of teenagers my age don't know Him, and I just wanted to praise and y'all pray for people my age and let them realize that they can still be Christians and have fun.
Amen. Amen, Abby. Praise God for that testimony. That's exactly right. Lord's working. Anybody else? Yes, right here, Lindsay.
Hey. So the message this morning in particular got me just because I've grown up in church all my life, so I've grown up hearing the story of how Jesus was born, and I almost think it's a little bit more dangerous for people like that because they just hear it as words and not as a story. It's kind of like the verse John 3:16. I don't remember a time where I didn't know that verse or didn't have it memorized, so I never thought about the words until I got older. And so just hearing us dissect the Christmas story word for word, just like each word is so precious and it just has such meaning. So it just touched
Amen.
My heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else like to give testimony? It's open. Don't hesitate. Yes, that pretty lady back there in the purple coat there.
It's still on? Okay. I'd like to praise the Lord. About a year ago today, we arrived home from Africa without a clue of what the Lord had for us next. And I just praise the Lord for bringing us here, and for knowing and taking care of us and guiding our every step.
Amen. That's so true. We were talking about that earlier, how God has moved in our lives. And I want to tell you, I couldn't think of a better place other than heaven. I couldn't think of a better place to be in my life right now than right here at this church. And Joanna and I love y'all so much, and that love is only growing. And just appreciate what the Lord's doing. Anybody else? We'll get going. Looks like we're making some headway. Why don't we just take two more? If somebody would like to say something, let's just go ahead and take two more. If not, that'll be okay. But anybody else, if God's put something on your heart and you'd like to share it, yes, ma'am, Ms. Elizabeth.
I just want to thank the Lord for Brother Jennings and Ms.
Joanna.
Joanna.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes when I didn't want to stand up, because sometimes when I stand up, my mind sits down, but it but it sat down already. But I'm so proud of them. And we prayed for quite a while, but God answered.
Amen.
And folks, do you agree with me?
Amen. Well, we look at that both ways, and we don't feel like we deserve a church family like Crooked Creek. And I mean that. Every one of you is very, very special to us. And I just can't wait to grow in Christ with you. As your preacher's got a lot to learn. And your preacher's got a lot to grow in as well. And I just appreciate you so much. All right, one more. And maybe we'll move forward. If there is one more, we'll take it. And we'll have more opportunities in the future. But if we got one more, we'll go ahead and have that. Going once, going twice. Gone. All right. Well, what we're going to do is have the ushers come down, and Brother Ben and Hunter, you guys come on down, and Brother Mike's going to lead us in a song.
All right, hymn number 121 as they're coming down. Hymn number 121, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. For those of you who are just in a moment of prayer.
Hello. Thank you all for coming tonight. My name is Cassidy, for those of you who don't know me. And on August 19th, 2015, I left Georgia and moved to Jinja, Uganda. My job was to teach international students who were mostly the children of missionaries, but my mission was always to make disciples. And the Lord fulfilled this mission in my students at school and in my dearest Ugandan friend, Lillian, who you will see pictures of tonight. He fulfilled this mission in ladies who met weekly in Lillian's home for Bible study, widows in a village called Kananage, and teenage girls in Karenya Primary School. On October 31st, 2016, my journey in Jinja ended. It was never a journey to Jinja, for it did not stop when I left, but it continues here today. And in fact, it continues to be a daily battle here, just as it was there. The pictures that you are about to see in the video are of the times in between. And of course, I've chosen the highlights. I've chosen the sweet memories and the moments of victory. But what you will not see in the video are the pictures of the moments when I sat alone in my room and cried. You will not see pictures of the moments that I did not choose joy. And you will not see pictures of the moments when I became frustrated with the culture and longed to be understood by another human being, or when I was annoyed because the power was out unexpectedly yet again. I'm uncomfortable using the word good because I know that nothing of me or of my own efforts is ever good. But before you see the good stuff at the surface, you have to know that there was ugly stuff below and around me. There were times when I was afraid to go to the village. There were days I didn't feel like going to Bible study. There were moments when I allowed my irrational fear of rats to get the best of me. But somehow, despite all of my weakness, the Lord was strong. And despite all of my fear, He was faithful.
Amen.
And despite all of my unfaithfulness, He was patient. The Lord made beauty from all of my brokenness. The more that I see the beauty of the Lord, the more I see the brokenness in me and all around me. And I'm telling you all of this because countless times, sorry, I do this every time, and I think I'm going to be okay, and I'm not. So, okay. I'm telling you all of this because countless times I sat where you are, and I watched missionaries step up on this very platform, and as soon as they stepped up here, they stepped up in my mind as a better Christian than I, called to a higher calling than I was. They didn't put themselves there, and they didn't claim that, but I did. I put them there in my own mind. And I'm here to tell you and to plead with you not to do the same with me, because if you think that I'm a better Christian simply because I moved my geographical location to live out my calling, then you're wrong. The more I was pressed, the more of that ugly stuff came to the surface, and the more I saw how much I needed the Lord. So please, as I stand here before you, don't elevate me to a higher platform, and don't call me a missionary unless you hold an undeserved, holier view of me. I'm Cassidy. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a follower of Jesus. And that alone is my higher calling, just as it is yours. 2 Corinthians 4:18 is the verse that led me to Jinja, and it's the verse that led me through Jinja. And it says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So I just want to share the main things that the Lord taught me while I was there. First of all, he taught me that when he is all I have, he is all that I need. Jesus said, "Whoever will keep his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." And during my first 2 weeks there, I felt like I truly lost it. I was confused because I thought I was supposed to be gaining something. And so I thought, "Lord, I've given up for you. So where are all of those things that I'm supposed to be gaining?" And it kind of reminds me of the first time that my dad took me hunting, and we sat down in the stand, and almost immediately I said, "Daddy, where's the deer?" And I guess I thought they were just supposed to walk out immediately, and I still do that, actually, to this day. So that was kind of my same mindset when I first got to Uganda. And it's only now that I can look back and see that it's only when I live for someone other than myself that I truly live. The second thing the Lord taught me was that his presence is home. I struggled a lot with homesickness, and it's funny, now that I'm here, I'm homesick for there. So I'm finding that the more homes I come to have, I realize that this world really is not my home, but his presence is my home, and there's nowhere in the world I can go away from that. Number three, when sacrifice looks different, wait, let me start over. When sacrifice looks better, but obedience looks different, I had better choose obedience. When I was seeking the Lord for direction and discernment of whether or not to stay there or to come home, I was brought to many times to the story of Abraham and Isaac. When I moved to Jinja, I had intentions of coming back to the States because I believed that ultimately God was calling me here, but I kind of wanted him to tell me differently. I kind of wanted him to call me to stay there forever. And so when I didn't hear that, I was somehow disappointed. And some of the questions I was asking were, "God, am I not good enough? Am I not strong enough? Am I hearing you correctly? Are you sure?" And to be honest, I'm still asking those questions. But it's because that I'm still asking that I will always be listening for him to call me back if he chooses to do that. So going to Abraham and Isaac, God called Abraham to make a sacrifice too, and definitely one that he didn't understand. He climbed the mountain, he raised the knife, and God said, "Stop." And possibly like Abraham did, now I'm asking, "I was ready to sacrifice when you said the word. I was ready to bring down the knife, so why would you stop me?" However, Abraham did make a sacrifice that day on the mountain. It just wasn't the one that he was expecting to make. And one would think that the sacrifice would be to give up American life to serve in Africa. And for a time, maybe that was mine. But for now, the Lord has said, sacrifice the title and the work of missions. Come down the mountain and serve me still wholeheartedly, where it looks easy, but it's really not easy. And I'm still trying to figure out what that looks like for me, but in time, I believe that God will provide, just as he did for Abraham. Abraham's sacrifice that day was the ram. And while I'm still not sure about my ram, I'm sure about the lamb. And that is why I come down the mountain in obedience and not in sacrifice. And the last thing is that the grass may look greener on the other side, but the grass is greener where you water it. So be content and water your grass. I'm still learning this one, and so I'm just going to close with a story to illustrate this point. In February of this past year, I attended a women's conference for some missionary ladies there in Jinja. And there at the conference, I was expecting the Lord to tell me whether or not to come home or to stay there. But he didn't tell me. And instead, he said to me to be content where I was and to water the grass on which I was standing. The day after the conference, I was having lunch with my friend Lillian. And you saw pictures of Lillian in the village. We would go to the village together sometimes to visit with her mom and the widows there. We had a Bible study together in her home. She was my dearest Ugandan friend there. And I was having lunch with her, and she was telling me about her mother, who is infected with HIV. And she had told me of her before and had asked me to visit her. And this time I asked Lillian, is she born again? And Lillian said that she was not. So immediately I knew that we had to go as soon as possible. So we planned when we would go, and I just simply knew that we were not leaving her house that day until I shared the gospel with her. So we arrived at her house in a village about an hour outside of Jinja. I met her, and we shared a big lunch together that Lillian's mom had prepared. Her name is Joy. When we finished lunch, I began to share the gospel while Lillian translated. And then Joy shocked me by saying plainly that she had already accepted Jesus as her Savior. And I looked at Lillian and I said, what? Joy seemed serious and unwavering, so I didn't feel like we needed to press on. I simply thought Lillian had misunderstood her previously and there had been a lack of communication. So we left the village not having received the harvest that we were expecting. So, side note, a few weeks later, Joy actually made a true profession of faith. At the first time that we visited her, she was still attending a Protestant church, which pushes people more towards just religion under supreme God instead of recognizing that a personal relationship with Jesus is necessary. So eventually, Joy did trust Jesus as her Savior and decide to be a born-again follower of Jesus. But on that day, it looked different than I thought it would look. So when I got home, I decided to go for a walk that evening. This was not out of the ordinary, except that it was a Saturday evening, and usually I would have been at my church preparing music for the next day's service. But this particular week, I was taking a week off. So I was about halfway through my course on the road when I saw at a distance a girl coming down the road towards me. We were set to pass each other in the road, and I made eye contact with her from a distance, intending to speak and say hello as we passed each other. But as we reached each other, she turned to me and stopped and said, I need help. And I was stunned, and she proceeded to tell me that she was thrown out of her home that morning and had no place to go. And all of a sudden, all of those stories that I had ever heard about the tactics that robbers and bad guys use to lure people out of their homes and get people off of their paths so that they could, like, hurt them or rob them came back into my mind. So rather abruptly, I started looking around me and behind me to see if someone was coming out of the bushes, but it was a false alarm. So imagine with me that this teenage girl walking down the street has just stopped probably the most paranoid, helpless, and ignorant of what to do in these kinds of situations, Mzungu girl, which means white person, and all of Jinja. And I really felt like that. I didn't know what to do. I started thinking of all of the people that I knew who would know what to do and started feeling even more helpless. And then I remembered that my friend Mercy lived right around the corner from where we were standing, and she might know how to help her because she was a social worker. When we arrived at her house, she wasn't there because she was also at church, which was where I would usually be too. There was nothing else that I could do except get the number of the probation officer from another girl who was working at Mercy's children's home. and take Ruth, this girl, home with me. We started to walk back to my place as it grew darker, and I found out some more about her. She told me that a taxi driver had given her a free ride that day from Sirodi, which is a town approximately 6 or 7 hours outside of Jinja. And she believed that her father lived somewhere in Jinja, and she thought his name was Peter. I knew that Ruth was going to be stuck with me for a while, so I started to tell her about Jesus. And I asked her, "Who would you say that Jesus is?" And she said, "Jesus is our Savior." And that sounds like a good answer, but really it's the answer that Ugandans are taught to say. If you heard the "our," that kind of gives you that clue. And there was no real personal meaning behind her answer. And so I started telling her of what Jesus did for her and how he stood in her place on the cross, just as if I was about to jump in front of a speeding car that was heading her way. And that illustration made sense as to where we were because we were walking down the road. I began to tell her about a relationship with Jesus and walking with Jesus, and then she said, "I want to start." So I ran with that, and that was enough to tell me that with whatever knowledge and understanding that she had, she was ready to trust Jesus. And so there on the roadside of my own street, this helpless Mzungu girl helped her with some words, and she prayed to Jesus to receive salvation, to begin new life in him. And as I celebrated, she finally smiled. When my friend Mercy returned home from church that night, Ruth stayed with her at the children's home for the night. And a few days later, Ruth told Mercy the truth, which I thought to be a sign of her true newness in Christ. She had run away from home that day. They ran a few medical tests on her, and the only one that came back positive was a pregnancy test. I received a call Tuesday morning that Ruth had left with another social worker to go back to Sirodi. So almost as quickly as she came into my life, she was gone. But I'm thankful for the 2 days that I was able to spend some little time with her. Later, Mercy went back to visit Ruth in her town. Ruth was not there, but Mercy was able to talk to Ruth's sister and another man, and both of them gave their life to Jesus. So that day, a taxi driver gave Ruth a free ride from Sirodi. She came looking for her father, but she came home to her heavenly father. She was running away, but she was welcomed into the family of God. I went to the village that morning expecting to reap a harvest in a hard place, and instead the harvest was brought in on my very own street. So my encouragement to you is to be where you are and to water your grass. Of course, the enemy would love to bring you down and discourage you and try to tell you that where you are doesn't matter or that it's insignificant because you aren't in a foreign country. And actually, we all live in a foreign culture because the American culture is so far from the way of God. So it's not so much about where you follow Jesus, but more so about how you follow him. And if you follow him how he intended you to, then you will be where he intended you to be. So take heart and don't walk in defeat of insufficiency, because it will lead you to doubt his supremacy. Following Jesus is your high calling, and you can start on your very street. So to so many of you who have prayed over me and spiritually pushed me along in this journey, and to my family who labored with me through many emotional texts and Skype talks just to help me through the day, and to all of you who have listened tonight and cared with compassion, thank you. Anything that you invested into me, you gave to the Lord. So thank you for giving to him. It's been my joy to share with you his story in one small corner of the world and to celebrate with you tonight how God is moving so that all nations will worship. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, and I love you all.
All God's people said, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Cassidy, for that. And what a tremendous testimony from the Lord's servant and how God used Cassidy during that time in Uganda, giving her heart there. And you know what? The Lord wants to do the same exact thing through us. It may not be in Uganda, but it's right here in Jackson County. And God may give us an opportunity to go to Uganda. I don't know about you, but after seeing those pictures, I'm ready to go to Uganda. And that one we'll have to save up for, because I know, because flying to Niger, how expensive that can be. But that's something I'm looking forward to, is our first church mission trip to Africa. That will be a blessing, and I'm already looking forward to that when the Lord will open up that door. I thought it was funny, you know, the names the Africans give us, and they do it with ease, and usually it does involve just the name white, whatever it may be. What was it again, Cassidy?
Mzungu.
Mzungu. Yeah. All right, here we go. We're getting a good Uganda lesson here. Magundu?
No.
Say again. Mzungu. All right. So thank you, Mzungu. And it's funny, though, because the Africans will say things like that. In Niger, it was Nasada. And Nasada was white. And so, man, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if it was my pride. And I love those people. They know I did. When I was there, I got every guy in town, especially the little kids. Man, going in the market, I said, Nasada, Nasada, Nasada. You know, white, you know, Nasada. And finally, I said, I was talking to one of our believers, nationals there. I'm like, look, would it be offensive if I, you know, they're black. So, I mean, can I just say black? And he said, yeah, I think it'd be fine. And so sure enough, when we're out in town, I said, Nasada, Nasada, Nasada. I'd say, go me. And they kind of look at me like, is that feels to be called your color? Those Africans, I'm glad they got a sense of humor. They really do. But they that's something they do. They're not afraid to laugh and laugh at themselves. But it's a neat thing to go to a different country and just to be able to be put outside of your comfort zone and how the Lord used you. Thank you for that testimony. I'm just going to take a few minutes here, and I promise you that. I'm going to take a few minutes and read a few verses in Luke chapter 19. Would you look with me, please, in Luke chapter 19? I just want to leave a thought with us before we leave out of here. And as you turn there, I want to tell you something. I believe the Lord's impressed upon my heart tonight to take up a love offering. And I really believe that the Lord would have us do that to be an encouragement to Cassidy. And she spent that time over in Uganda. And that's nothing she expects, and we realize that. But I believe it would honor the Lord if we could do something special to her as she's getting accustomed back to the States and looking for more of a full-time position and a job occupation. And so after I share these thoughts, we'll take up a love offering. If you didn't come prepared, that's fine. If you'd like to give at a latter time, and that would be fine too. But we will be able to do that here in just a moment. Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start reading in verse 5. And this is the story of Zacchaeus. And most of us are familiar with this. But it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Now listen to me really quickly, please. This can quickly become the mentality of American Christianity. What are you talking about, preacher? Where we carry ourselves to go in reaching certain people, whether it be the Spanish-speaking community, or whether it be the black community, or whether it be in those parts of the community where it's very low income and people are struggling and there's a lot of rough things going on, and perhaps we would look down on going to Africa and reaching those people. We can quickly get the mentality that these people had about Jesus going after this sinner. And folks, God help us if we ever get to that point. I do not believe this church is at that point, but I'm telling you what, we're not above falling into this category of looking at and murmuring, saying, look where they're going. Look where Jesus is going to eat with that sinner, to be a guest of that sinner. God forbid that we'd show some compassion and go reach people that don't look like us, that aren't acting like us. Oh my, Jesus had a heart for Zacchaeus. And look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I don't have time to go into it, but it was a change of heart after Zacchaeus had received him joyfully. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come into this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And I close with this verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that a beautiful thing, church? The Lord Jesus, who came and was born in a manger, came specifically to seek. Not just to save. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit clarified that. It didn't say He came to save. He came to seek. He's looking. He's not always looking for people that can be saved by the grace of God. He had a heart to seek. And I'm praying, God, would You make us a church that seeks after men and women and boys and girls? God, give us a group of young people that will surrender and go after Africa and go after China and Asia and go after Australia. Oh, go after South America and Central America. Go after Canada. Seek after. Because that's the heart of Jesus. He has come to seek and to save. And by the way, He does not seek lost people without saved people. Jesus has chosen to limit Himself by the vessels of mankind, His children, to speak the message of salvation. And I believe with all my heart, church, that as we've seen Cassidy give testimony tonight about her heart for Uganda and those children who I have no doubt some of them came to Christ as a direct result of her influence of going and speaking the love of Christ, seeking, saving. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the heart of Christmas. And I'm praying that God would help us, not just in December, but especially in December, to announce this great message, to seek and to save that which were lost, because that is the heart of Jesus. That is the spirit of Jesus, to go after. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their background is. Let's go after them. And let Lord Jesus be glorified, because that's His heart. All the others murmured, what is He going to that individual for? What are they going there for? Oh no. That's not the heart of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Hey, man, I'm so thankful.